This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Adam and Jason with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Thanks to Doug and the Rainbow Report team for another great show. Welcome, Jason. How are you this evening?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Adam?
I'm pretty good.
I'm looking to see if you're going to be nicer to me this week than you were last.
I'm always nice to you.
Yeah, sure.
I just think we differ in terms of what we consider nice behaviour.
Yeah. Moving along. Other than being nice to me this week, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, tonight on the show, we'll be chatting with Dr. Beng from the Pran Market Clinic about rapid HIV testing. Obviously, they're the first place in Victoria to have this up and running, so I guess we're going to gauge how it's going, what people are thinking about it, and whether clients like it.
Very exciting. I know we've talked about it many, many times.
Yes.
Just rapid testing in general.
Yes.
So it'll be great to kind of hear how things are going.
Yeah, and obviously we'll be doing, we'll have a news item, and later on we'll be going over, I guess, what is happening out and about and around and groups and stuff like that. But Jason, we do love to hear from our listener, and how can they get in contact with us?
There are so many ways.
Many ways.
If you want to get in touch with directly in studio, you can email onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427-JOY-949. Otherwise, if you want to speak to a real life person, you can ring 1-300-JOY-949 and speak to Robbie.
Disco Robbie.
Or if you want to keep in touch with us between shows, you can just like us on Facebook, facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy.
Fantastic. Well, tonight, kicking off the show, because it is my musical choices, and hopefully this is something that you will like, Jason.
I approve already.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you? It's David Guetta featuring Nicki Minaj with Turn Me On. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we were all bumping along, getting our grooves on.
More importantly, we were talking about how the fact that your music's a little bit more upbeat this week.
I know, I thought I would do it for the fans out there, but if you do like my Adele-style 16-year-old depressed girl type of music, then you are more than welcome to write in and let me know, and it will be back when I'm next toasting.
I'm sure it's going to be back either way, regardless of what they're saying.
Yeah, well.
But yes, we do want to hear.
Yes, we do.
Tell them we
but
like this better.
This is the part of the show where we like to change tracks and shuffle our papers and get into a bit of a news item-y sort of a segment. I'm going to put on my best Jennifer Kite reading voice.
Fantastic. We'll get straight into it then.
Yeah, as if. But actually, the article that I found this week to be most interesting was, it's called Higher Rates of HIV in US Black Gay Men, Maybe Due to Smaller Choice of Partners and More Age Mixing.
Tell me more.
So I was hooked.
So what's this study all about?
I was hooked. Well, basically, the study was actually a relatively small one in which HIV-negative gay men under 40 who were not monogamous were asked to keep diaries of their sexual encounters over a three-month period. So basically updating the diary every week. So via Facebook and small ads website Craigslist, which I kind of get a little bit creeped out about, researchers recruited 143 gay men who were selected in order to make the group balanced in terms of race, age, and location within the US.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what they found was limited partner choice, wider age gaps between partners, and mistaken beliefs about HIV status in regular partners are all driving the substantially higher rates of HIV in US black men relative to other ethnicities.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
The study also found out that the higher rates of HIV in black gay men were not due to higher HIV risk behaviours. But that actually contradicts quite a bit to what some of the other studies have found in the past. But it's actually been found that, you know, considerably lower overall rates of unprotected sex happen in black men than in others.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, in terms of there's a higher disproportionate, I guess, incidence and prevalence of HIV amongst US black men. And so we did talk about a study that was quite similar probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago that was much larger and much more representative. And this was actually sort of trying to really look at the crux of what might be the enabling factors. And I guess that the black gay men were significantly more likely to have partners who were considerably younger or older than they were. And I guess what this study adds, I guess it found that interactions of risk factors rather than a single risk factor, I guess, was the most crucial determinants of higher HIV risk in black men. I guess, for instance, while black men were less likely to have unprotected sex than other ethnicities, they were more likely to drop condom use once a relationship became long-term. Now, that's not really unusual in the sense that people that do get into, I guess, monogamous long-term relationships tend to go through the talk, test, test, trust process.
And in
some way, shape or form. Exactly. And then might tend to, I guess, disregard condoms as a, I guess, as a preventative strategy. So, I mean, yeah.
Well said, Adam.
Yeah, thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Said.
Thank you. Really, really, really hitting home runs.
But, you know, I think it does point to some interesting conclusions because, you know, it suggests that while black men do attempt to moderate their risk and some ways actually do so more consistently than other men, the fact that there is a higher prevalence of HIV in the black community in the US seems to kind of overwhelm these particular attempts.
Yeah, and I guess the age difference was something that I guess they considered to be quite crucial. I guess young black men were more likely than any other group to have unprotected sex with older partners, exactly the pattern that would be most likely to spread HIV rapidly between generations. I guess, yeah, well, figure-wise, black men were 34% more likely to have unprotected sex if their partner was older than them, and over twice as likely if their partner was more than 10 years older. Which I found quite surprising, and I don't really know the rationale or the reasoning behind it. I understand if you're in a committed monogamous relationship, but obviously recruiters weren't looking for people that were in monogamous relationships. So, yeah, I just found that very interesting.
Let us know what you think. Just send an SMS to 0427JOY949, or if you want to read the full article, which is from AIDSMAP.com, you can go to facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy and join the conversation there.
Exactly. Well, we're just going to listen to some quick community service announcements. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Ben Yu from Paran Market Clinic. But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And joining Jason and I in the studio this week is Dr. Ben Yu from Paran Market Clinic. Welcome, Ben. How are you this evening?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, no worries. Well, obviously, we've got you in tonight to talk about rapid HIV testing that's happening at PMC. I'm going to call it PMC now because it's just so much easier and everyone knows it as PMC.
Yes.
But before we get into that, can you tell the listener just a little bit about yourself and, I guess, what you've been doing work-wise?
Okay. A bit about myself, I suppose. I came from Malaysia when I was 18. I came here to study and I've stayed on ever since because I love it so much here. I've mainly been in general practice in Melbourne and in Gippsland, Victoria, and I've been in Paran Market Clinic for quite a while now.
So how long exactly? Because I have seen your face around.
Okay, I've been at PMC for 16 years.
Wow, that's massive. But obviously you like it there and it's working quite well for you.
Yeah, I love it there.
And so where were you before that?
I was in Gippsland in a small town called Yarragon, and I worked in Morwell as well. So I was in Gippsland for about 7 years.
Oh. And how was that?
Very interesting, actually. Yeah, it's actually interesting. It was a good experience.
Yep.
And how long have you been practicing as a physician?
I've been practicing for about 25 years.
That's a long time. Long time.
It's a lot of experience, Adam.
Well, exactly, exactly. Well, we're just going to listen to a quick song and then we'll get into the crux of why we've got you on here about rapid HIV testing. But this is an old school shout out. This is Arrested Development with Everyday People. I love this song. Oh, Oh, that is just so good. That is well on Joy 94.9.
Someone's blissed out.
Oh, God, I so am. That takes me back to my bar singing days. Yeah, it doesn't get much clearer than that. Well, obviously, we're here tonight with Dr. Beng Yu from Paran Market Clinic, or PMC, to talk about rapid HIV testing. So, Beng, can you tell the listener exactly what rapid HIV testing is?
Okay, rapid testing really refers to any of the testing that you can get the result in a short period of time. That is, I suppose, within an hour, 30 minutes. There have been quite a few kits developed around the world for the last 10 years, and one was finally approved in December last year for use in Australia.
And so how long have you actually been offering rapid HIV testing at PMC?
We've been offering it since mid-March, so I think it's about 10 weeks we've been doing it for.
And you mentioned that there are quite a few rapid test kits available. What particular test are you using at PMC?
The one that's been approved is the Allere Determined Combo HIV Antibody Antigen Test.
So it is the one that's gotten regulatory approval by
TGA? That's correct, yes.
TGA.
Cool. Okay. And obviously, I mean, you said it returns a result quite quickly. So how long does it actually take to get a result with the Allere Combo Determinant 1-2 ABAG finger prick test?
This test actually takes a minimum of 21 minutes. Yep. So the there's a 1 minute period after you put the blood on the strip, and then after that is a 20 minute wait for a result. So you're asked to actually read the test between 20 and 30 minutes.
Okay.
So I guess if you've got that 20 minute wait time, what's the process like if someone comes into to PMC for a rapid HIV test?
We've got several models of how we're doing it. On the website, we're encouraging people to identify themselves if they want a rapid test, so that they can be booked a slightly longer appointment, and some doctors prefer that. So, but the other way is if someone comes in for a routine test and if the doctor has time, they might offer it as, you know, would you like a rapid test as well? At this stage, anyone who has a rapid test needs to have a full blood test at the same time anyway, but it's just that the rapid test will give you your HIV result, you know, within 20, 30 minutes.
And so what's the rationale for having the blood test and the rapid test done?
At this stage, because it's quite a new test, one of the TGA regulations was that we had to be aligned with one of the testing labs. And the testing lab we're using, which is Vidrol, has sort of stipulated that for the first lot of tests without a fixed number, we should do the testing in both ways so we can actually compare the results.
Hmm.
So I guess it's an opportunity to ensure that, given that it is a new test kit for everyone at PMC, that there is some level of quality control in the first little batch.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And seeing that, you know, we're the first sort of general practice site to be doing it, I think it's actually good to test it out in our setting where it's not in a trial, it's not in a sexual centre. We haven't got lots of staff doing it. It's actually each doctor just doing the test themselves.
And so I guess, are all doctors at PMC able to do the rapid test?
Yes, actually all the doctors agreed to do the training for it, so any doctor can do it.
And mentioning training, that takes me to my next question. So obviously you would have had training in the actual rapid HIV test and probably new guidelines around how to do it and when to do it and whatnot. So can you tell us a little bit about that, the training?
Yeah, the training, the actual technical training, which is how to use the kits and how to read it, how to interpret it, was actually provided by Allere. So there's a two-hour training session that we all did. Now, apart from that, as part of one procedure, we actually look through what's been done and we talk about the, you know, pitfalls and the false readings and what can happen with it. So we've actually been through a fair bit of that ourselves. Plus, we have to do a quality control test as well. So we're part of a quality control program where we have to send off kits, you know, to be sort of validated as well.
Yeah.
And generally, what's been the response to the availability of the rapid HIV test?
I think the response has been quite good. I think we've done about 125 tests so far. I think between 18 to 20% of our HIV testing is now done with a rapid test as well. I think we've had like 30 of them have been like patients that have never ever been to the clinic, so they've pretty much attended to have the rapid test done.
That's
so the
impressive.
Response has been really good.
And in terms of, have you kind of had patients give kind of any feedback about what they've thought about the process?
Well, generally, everyone likes the test because it's quite immediate.
Yeah.
I suppose the only issue for a lot of people is actually there's an extra cost involved because it's not, you know, it's not actually paid for by anyone else, so they have to pay for it themselves.
Well, we're just going to listen to a quick song, another little upbeat, bouncy song, if I don't say so myself. And it is Calvin Harris featuring Florence Welch with Sweet Nothing. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're chatting with Dr. Ben Yu from Paran Market Clinic. So I guess the process by which the test is, well, I guess the test is completely and utterly different in terms of how you provide it to clients. So how does the pre- and post-test counselling work with a rapid HIV test?
Well, the information we give is essentially the same. I suppose, as I said, we talk about the rapid test as well, and if the rapid test is positive, it needs to be confirmed by the full blood test anyway, because, you know, there's a small incidence of what we call false positive results. Except in some ways it's sort of truncated, because you don't have a separate consultation for the post-test counselling to reinforce messages and stuff. So all of it sort of gets mashed up and happens in one consult at the beginning of it.
Now, I guess One question that may come to mind is, you know, when it comes to a rapid HIV test, is it rapid in the result, or is it also rapid when it comes down to the window period?
It's rapid in the result. The window period doesn't come down, and there's been a lot of discussion about the window period and the antigen test in the actual strip itself. And in fact, the window period might be slightly longer. That seems to be the general opinion.
And you mentioned earlier about, I guess, false positives and false negatives. So I guess, I mean, the terminology that I've heard bandied around is you have a reactive or a non-reactive result.
That's correct.
So can you explain exactly what these terms are and what they mean?
Sure. A reactive result is if either the antigen or antibody part of the test is positive. An antigen is a P24 antigen, which is actually an indication of the HIV itself, whereas the antibody is something that your body produces against the virus. So if either of those test strips are positive, it's considered a reactive result, which is essentially a positive result.
And so what happens if someone has a reactive result?
If someone has a reactive result, basically we need to confirm it with a full serum test, which will do an ELISA and Western blot test, which is the gold standard for HIV testing, to either confirm or show if it's a false result.
Now, how does that process differ from what used to happen with conventional HIV testing?
In conventional testing, normally the blood is sent off and they do an ELISA test on it, and if that's positive, they do a confirmatory Western blot test. The ELISA test actually has some false positives in it, but normally that's why if you come back after a few days for your results, the confirmatory test has been already done. So you don't get told that the first step is positive and, you know, and the confirmation test is negative. So really the rapid test forms like sort of the first part of the test like you're used to anyway.
Yep.
Okay. And so what has been the response from patients regarding the introduction of rapid HIV testing?
I think we've had a really good response. I said about, you know, 18 to 20% of our testing has been rapid HIV testing. We have had quite a lot of new patients who've come in. I think at least 30 new patients who've never been to the clinic who've come in for testing. I've certainly had some patients who haven't had test for a long time come in for the HIV test.
And I guess this is something you might be able to answer or might not. Do people prefer the rapid HIV test in terms of like a finger prick in relation to, because a lot of people have fear of needles and, yes, and whatnot. So even though you've got to have your confirmatory, I guess, blood test, the little finger prick, are people more, I guess, less anxious about that, or are they more anxious about it because you get the result really quickly?
Yeah, at the moment, actually, the finger prick thing is not advantage, because we still have to take blood, so in some ways, yeah, we have to prick them twice rather than once. So that's not an advantage. So the main thing is if they prefer to have the result quickly and not be anxious about it for a few days, then they prefer the rapid test.
It's funny, I might chime in on this because I'm slightly needle phobic, and I still felt that there was a difference, because there's just something about the decreased anxiety about the fact that I knew that I was going to be getting my result once all the rest of the blood draw, like. So we started with the finger prick. That test kit was going. Then we went to the other part of doing the standard blood draw, and I already felt like the anxiety was starting to subside. Oh, but who knows?
To know.
And I guess if somebody comes into Paran Market Clinic and they're quite knowledgeable about rapid HIV and sort of say, well, why would I have the finger prick test if I've got to have confirmatory blood test? Can people actually just opt for the confirmatory usual
blood
test?
Not at the moment, because it's a requirement for us using the test kit that we have to do. We have to parallel test for the moment. But down the track, that's probably an option.
Now, we actually have... We've had a specific question with regards to the rapid testing. And it's, you know, we've talked about the issue of some false positives with both the rapid test and with the ELISA, which is the conventional first round HIV test. Would you say that the rapid HIV testing is as accurate as the old testing method, or how would you kind of respond to that kind of question from the community?
I think there's a big debate about this at the moment. I actually think that the it's almost as effective. I think that's what everyone says. I think everyone says that the rapid test now is probably where the conventional testing was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So it's actually very, very... and most of the big trials around the world have showed, you know, over 99% sensitivity.
Mm.
So there we go. Thank you for that question, Nick.
And I guess... why do you think that rapid HIV testing is so important? Obviously, it's been something that's been on, I guess, the Australian agenda for such a long time. So yeah. Why do you actually think it's important, I guess, from a health professional perspective?
I think the rapid test does hopefully encourages more people to have tests, especially if they're anxious about waiting for the result. They might come in because it's a rapid test. It's new technology. Some people might be interested in that side of it. And I also think it's just important to have it out there as a consumer choice, really.
I like it. Well, next time I'm coming in, that's exactly what I'm going for. Just for the novelty factor, I want to see how it works and whatnot. But we're just going to listen to a quick song. This is Emily Sande with Next to Me, which I also love. Now that little upbeat pop tune. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we were all bopping along to that song, weren't you, Ben? You were like, I love Emily Sande. Well, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Now, obviously, rapid HIV testing is available at PMC, but there's also rapid testing being available in Bendigo, I hear now. So can you tell us a little bit about that service?
Yes, that has developed because one of our doctors, Dr. Benjamin Tash, actually works in Bendigo one day a week. And when we were doing the testing, he was actually really keen to see if we could actually work our way of doing the testing in Bendigo as well. So we've got through the logistics of it all, and he started offering it there. But it's only one day a week, but at least it means that, you know, rural people can get HIV rapid testing done as well.
That's really exciting because, you know, we've been waiting for it quite a bit here. And I'd imagine there's probably been a sentiment among men in rural Victoria, but that they probably have to wait quite a bit longer. So, you know, it's encouraging.
Yeah, and also in rural areas, actually, in some ways, it's more important because, you know, if they have not in close access to a clinic, it means they have to travel a long way to get the test done, and it's to travel a long way to get the test results. So at least rapid testing allows them to actually get the result there and then.
And so if somebody actually wanted to book in for a rapid test at PMC, do they need to inform reception?
If you definitely want it, it's better to actually specify when you're booking it in. I mean, all doctors can do it, but some doctors will actually allow extra time for it. So just say you want a HIV rapid test and they'll know what to do.
And how much does it cost?
At this stage, it's $20 for the kids. And because there's a slight discount earlier on, for healthcare card holders, it's only $5. But that's just a short-term thing.
And then obviously the cost of the consultation.
Yes. Yeah. Or anything else you might want, or vaccinations, other things as well.
Yeah. And so what are PMC's contact details for anyone who wants to get tested? Obviously not right now, because there'd be nobody there. But if they wanted to book and make an appointment, what would be the contact details for them?
Well, either look online or ring 9514-0888.
Fantastic. Well, it's been really interesting to talk about rapid HIV testing and sort of see it in a real-world setting outside of, I guess, clinical or research studies. So thank you so much for coming on tonight, Ben. It's been fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
And I guess we'll have to get you on maybe a little bit later down the track and just to see whether it's still trucking along so nicely.
Sure, I'd be glad to.
No worries. Well, we're just going to listen to a couple of quick community service announcements, and this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Titanium, David Guetta featuring Sia. which I actually just saw on Perez Hilton, Bad Adam, Bad Adam, where she sung that live acoustic. It was amazing. At
In LA at a gay and lesbian centre?
Yes, but there was a specific night. Because I don't know.
A gala. Yeah. It was a gala night.
Kelly Osbourne was in there somewhere. I saw her in there.
Oh, LA.
I love Kelly. But obviously, this is part of the show where we like to give you a little bit of a heads up about what's happening around town and things that you might be interested in...
Knowing about
and attending. Yeah, definitely. That works for me. Does it work for you?
It works so well for me. I'm going to get us started.
Yep.
Now, we've talked about this before on Well, and it's called Positive Outlook. It's an online workshop for gay and bisexual men living with HIV. And it's essentially a 7-week online group program for men living with HIV. And it features, you know, a range of modules, activities, and an opportunity for people to contribute in both discussion boards and a weekly live chat. It's an opportunity for people to focus on the management of the physical, the social, and emotional aspects of living with HIV.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, if you're interested in being part, I guess, of this study, and it's really, really interesting research, and it's really, really, really good, information that will be elicited from it in terms of creating and designing programs for HIV-positive individuals, especially because this is basically all online.
Exactly. And I think what's interesting about the discussion and the weekly chat, this is not just a Victoria-specific resource.
No, it's not. And I guess, you know, participants will be asked to log on to the program for about 90 minutes a week and to do all sort of the activities and modules and all the sort of stuff that they've got to do. But the fact that you can actually do it from your own home, in your own computer, is quite different than having to go to, I guess, a counselling or information session with a group of people and some of the workshops that are face-to-face.
Particularly as we were, you know, discussing with rapid HIV testing, if you're living in rural or regional areas of Australia...
Rural.
If you're living in rural...
Thank you, Barbara Walters.
Rural or regional areas of Victoria. Stop it, Adam. You know, access to some of these support services can be difficult if available at all in a nearby location. So given the fact that you can do this in the comfort of your own home, means that for some, they have access to some fantastic support services.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess if you want more information or if you're interested in registering, please have a look at the website, which is www.positiveoutlook.org.au. I'll say that again. It's www.positiveoutlook.org.au. Alternatively, you can contact Tanya Millard on 0421 049 706, which is 0421 049 706, or via email, which is tanya.millard@monash.edu.
Now, next up is something that our friends at Living Positive Victoria are involved in, and they are currently looking for gay men living with HIV who are co-infected and living with both hepatitis C and HIV, to be part of a consumer reference group. The group will be used to inform a series of activities being developed about transmission of hepatitis C within a sexual context. They need reference group members who are willing to be open about their HIV status, but confidentiality is assured about hepatitis C status.
And I guess we were actually having a conversation after Friday night drinks that we were having about, I guess, the stigma and discrimination against HIV-positive individuals who are also co-infected with Hep C.
It's a double stigma.
Yeah, very much so. And I think it's now such a political hot potato and everyone's sort of really trying to figure out exactly what's happening in the community. Exactly how we can best tailor and meet the needs of people who are co-infected. And I guess really just to get a sense of exactly what's happening in the community. There's no point coming up with programs and whatnot if there's not input from people who are actually living the experience.
Well, I think the issue with the stigma around hepatitis C is around the fact that it's always been traditionally viewed as something that's transmitted through intravenous drug use.
Yes.
But, you know, what we've seen in recent years is that there has been transmission occurring in the context of sexual activity where there's blood present. So, you know, that I don't think the community perception around Hep C has necessarily changed along with that new information.
Yeah, very much so. And I think people who are HIV positive obviously, I guess, much more aware of hepatitis C co-infection just in relation to, I guess, treatments and, I guess, the impact on the immune system and being, you know, immune immunocompromised and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, this is something that's really important. So I guess if you're interested in being a reference group member, which sounds kind of cool, I like that. Put it on a little badge, I'd walk around with it. If you're interested, please contact Guy Hussey on 9863 8744. That's 9863 8744, or you can email it ghussey, which is Hussey, so Hussey at livingpositivevictoria.org.au.
We've got something really, really exciting to talk about.
Oh my god, we've
saved it for last.
Hashtag totes.
Why don't you get started?
Well, it's actually about the Sexually Adventurous Men project that we have at the Victorian AIDS Council. It's a project partner. It's actually a partnership project between Living Positive Victoria and the Victorian AIDS Council. And they're actually launching a new section of the website called Up Close, where people can share their own sexual stories with other people. And the people who share their stories, three lucky winners or three entries who are lucky enough to be picked, I guess, will get the chance to have dinner with porn star Josh West.
Look out.
Holla.
What? The stories are looking to be divided into three categories: the beginning, the best, worst and bizarre, and fantasy fiction.
Yeah, and so the beginning relates to stories that share how you got into a particular sexual practice, because it is more about esoteric sex practices. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sexually adventurous, and it's quite debatable what sexually adventurous is. But, and the best, the worst, and the bizarre are stories that share what you've been up to sexually.
And the last category of fantasy fiction are stories about letting your deepest, darkest, and wildest desires out in relation to what you'd like to be getting up to sexually.
Yes.
I think it's a great concept, because, you know, even for those of us who might not be adventurous sexually, some of our beginning stories might be particularly interesting.
Are you saying you're quite vanilla?
See, I'm trying not to be to disclose too much, Adam, but you never let me kind of dance around issues, do you?
Oh, poor Gary.
But yeah, I think, anyway, getting back on track, the three best stories, one from each of those categories, will be selected on the 27th of May. So you still have some time to share your story for the chance to meet Josh West up close.
Exactly. And there'll be a range of events that are happening with Josh West over the course of the weekend that he is gracing us with his presence in Melbourne. So if you're interested in, I guess, the up close and personal aspect of the Sexually Adventurous Men project, or just finding out more information about some of the events that are being held around town when Josh West is in town, check out www.downanddirty.org.au, or go to vicaids.asn.au and you'll be able to find links to the things there. I'm going to keep on going because you're about to make fun of me.
I was, and I'm still going to. It was funny that you mentioned that you kind of got your tongue tied there at the end, because when you said that he was gracing us with his presence, I thought that you actually said gracing us with his presence.
Mind out of the gutter.
Freudian, Adam.
Guess not so vanilla now, are we?
Oh.
Anywho, but this has been well for another lovely week. Hopefully you've stuck around with us and we haven't annoyed you enough. But thanks to tonight's guest, Dr. Ben Yu from Paran Market Clinic, about rapid HIV testing. So have a look at their website or give them a call to book in a rapid HIV test. But coming up next is Hide and Seek with Andrew and Dean. And so to see us out after the following messages is Allo Black with Anita Dalla.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.